All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I'm glad to hear such energetic conversation, and clearly everybody was enjoying it as lunch as well too. Personally, one of my highlights. I'm still haunted by shouting out the pastor last year on stream. Got a good laugh. Yes, one quick announcement is the cash stamps and sticker packs being distributed by Steve Thurmond. Some people didn't pick up theirs at check-in for whatever reason. So if you have not seen one of them, which does include some nice free BCH sats and onboarding tools, then find Steve in the red shirt and grab yours. Yes. That's it, exactly. Okay, straight into it. Our next speaker describes himself as Be Curious. He is a nano GPT director, I guess, founder, and a nano advocate. Everyone was very surprised to find out he was not actually a woman, but representing the Netherlands, we have Milan de Reed.
Okay, is my mic? Yeah. So, first of all, sorry for the terrible disappointment of me not being Mira. I don't know if it's anyone in this room, but I had people like reach out and be like, I thought I had a shot with her. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So I'm sorry, but so my name is Milan de Reede. As mentioned by Jeremy, I co-founded NanoGPT together with Huggy / Nikolai, who's also in this room. But today we're not here to talk about Nano or NanoGPT because we also started Bitcoin Cash GPT, Bcash GPT, which I think you all will like. Which I think is much more to your liking than NanoGPT probably is. So first of all, I want to talk about why we started this, what we built, why we think it's useful for Bitcoin Cash, how it can help with adoption, and some of our reasoning behind why we created this service. So first of all of us here, I guess, like decentralization. Centralization is the devil. The issue is, in AI, centralization is kind of important because scale is key. The bigger you are, the more data you can suck up as a model creator. The more GPUs you can run, the stronger your model is going to be and the more useful it's going to be to people. So the more they're willing to pay for it. And we can kind of see that with the AI overlords. I don't know who created this article, but I like the image. So it's, of course, Altman, Elon Musk, and then from Anthropic and also Google. They're kind of the big ones in the AI space. There are open source ones, like Meta created Llama, and there's DeepSeek, of course. But realistically, like more than 90% of the usage, especially the best models, is going to be just decentralized models, which, you know, we like decentralization, we like crypto, so we are not very fond of how this is going. Because what this allows the model creators to do is restrict access to these models. There are a lot of people in the world for whom $20 a month is a fortune. Like, we all came all the way here to Slovenia, so presumably all of us can afford it. But for many people, $20 a month is just too much. There are like many people in Kenya, Nigeria, they like the idea of using these models and they can get a lot of use out of them, but they don't want to spend $20 a month. And I actually looked it up. It's a bit more than $20 a month for many of them. Grok is now like $30 a month or $40, depending on the subscription. If you want the best OpenAI model, it's $200 a month. So it's completely impractical for a lot of people. Then second, you need to have a credit card to be able to get a subscription and use these best models that there are, which, you know, only 16% of the world has a credit card. There are many unbanked out there. So especially those that can use it most, that don't have access to, say, good teachers, good medical, like good hospitals around them, good medical advice, they're not able to access this because those are the people without a credit card. So those are two big issues in terms of cost. And then there's also the privacy aspect, right? Like, I don't know what you guys use AI for. A lot of people openly share with us that they use it for pretty kinky stuff. But also just in general, it's a bit of a terrifying idea to me that you register with your name, with your email, you pay with your credit card, all your details are in there, you start asking questions, all of that is logged and stored with your name. I think most of us don't like, you know, that much information being stored somewhere about us. If they ever decide to sell it, or if a government decides, okay, this is nice information to have, it's not a great situation. So yeah, do you like giving up your privacy? Almost everyone says, no, I'd prefer not to. So yeah, we try to solve this, and we think BCH is honestly a great solution for it because it's an actual usable crypto, right? It's possible to do small transactions with it. You can send literally 10 cents. So what we've done is instead of needing a subscription, you just pay for what you use. You deposit as little as you want, starting at like 10 cents, and that gives you access to every single model you can think of. So ChatGPT, Gemini, Claude, anything you can think of. And the good part is, because it uses BCH, everyone can access it. Like, you don't need to have access to a bank account or credit card. Almost anyone can earn some BCH or get some from, you know, people in this room. But it's far more accessible to everyone. It doesn't discriminate against people who don't have access to the traditional system. So this way, we make it available to everyone, and we make it uncensorable. Like, in certain countries, governments don't like people using certain models, and they can just say, cut them off. That's not possible if we don't even know where you come from, if we don't know who you are, we don't even know what currency you're paying in. We don't want your name, we don't want to do KYC, use Cash Fusion, it's all okay. We don't log anything, so people have actual privacy. Now, who's this for? I already mentioned like people in Kenya. It's actually my favorite story. This one guy was using it for medical advice. He said, I was a bit scared because I'm like, I don't know if I trust the models that much. But his alternative was literally a shaman in his village. So, you know, he didn't have a credit card or anything to use these tools with, but he had an issue. He wanted to get an answer from the best AI out there. And this was the only way he could do it. So for those kind of people, this is a great solution. It's also, of course, for businesses. So many businesses have different things they do. You know, you do programming, but you also do marketing, for which you want a model that's good at like creative writing or maybe creating images. So for that, it's nice. But what I mostly want to focus on now is also it being used by AI agents, because I think it's a growing market, AI. I think we're increasingly going to be handing off tasks that we don't want to do to AIs. And it would be nice if they could also use BCH. So what are AI agents? I think most here know. It's a more technical audience than I expected. In my hotel room, I have a thermostat that I just turned down because it was too warm. That is an AI agent if you want to sell it very well. It takes in information and it makes a decision on decreasing the temperature. It's not what most of us think of when you say AI agent. Nowadays, what most people think of when they think AI is ChatGPT, Gemini, and such. And those are generalized agents. Just like, you know, we as humans, we're not very good at any particular thing. We're kind of decent at everything. And that's the great thing about these new AIs. You can just talk to them in natural language, say, this is what I want you to do, or this is what I want your advice on, and it will give quite a decent answer. However, what we can do as humans is also pay for stuff, right? For a lot of stuff that you do in real life, you need to, I don't know, pay to buy your groceries or to buy an article somewhere, like do your shopping. And these AIs don't have access to the traditional financial system because it's all, you know, you need to show your ID and whatever. It's hard for them to do that. So I created a quick demo, and I say I, it's not me. It's actually an AI that created it because I'm not a great coder. Huggy, who's there, does most of the programming on our website. So let me just refresh this. Okay, so what we see here is, I have a pointer, that's nice. Essentially, we use 6 different AI models here, just as a quick demo. So one AI model creates a prompt. I've essentially gone like, I'm giving a demo, can you create some pretty pictures? And it just creates a prompt, which is a neon-soaked cityscape, whatever. That's ChatGPT creating prompts. We then have another model that checks, like, are we sure this is a new prompt? Like, have the people not seen this already? Because it would be kind of boring if all of the pictures are exactly the same, right? So that's the second one that's just sort of quality control. Then the prompt gets fed into an image creating model, HiDream in this case, which just creates a pretty picture. It's like not very practical for anything, but you can create pictures. And then many of these models also have vision. So just like we can take in text, we can also take in what we see. These models can also see. So if you feed them an image, like if I took a picture here now, it would go like, okay, probably a conference, mostly men, and like describe what's in the room. You can also do that with an image. So it describes what's in the image. We use Gemini. And then we feed that into yet another model to see if we get a sort of similar looking picture out of it, which I think it's a decent similar looking picture. Now, yes, so I didn't have sound, sadly, otherwise we would have heard. What's happening in the background, I'll try and scroll up a bit so that we can see it better, is that we have another model which is tracking our balance, because every tool, every call that we do, we pay for it, right? And we were running out of balance, so it slowly goes down. Now, we gave one model access to our balance, checking the balance to see what is our current balance. We also gave it access to some tools. And one of those tools is getting a deposit address from our website. And what it gets back is a BCH address. And we gave it access to a tool to do transactions on a BCH network. So what this model unfortunately has done without us hearing it, because it also did a text-to-speech thing, but apparently the volume isn't working. What it did in the background is it noticed our balance was running low. It was going under $1. Now, of course, now we're already up again because it refilled. The balance went under $1. So what it did was, okay, what tools do I have to increase our balance again to keep this demo running? Because its task is keep the demo running. And it saw it could get a deposit address for the service. So it calls the API that we have, gets the deposit address, and then it also sees that it has access to a tool which allows it to send BCH transactions. So we went down to $1. It sent in about 40 cents in BCH, which is an on-chain transaction. I can show it later. Our service takes in the BCH. 2 seconds later, it credits it again, and then the balance goes back up because it's added funds to, you know, keep itself running, keep itself alive. Now, of course, this is a very simple demo, right? Like, it's just creating some images and some text. But we have people who build very big programs, like composed of many AI agents working together on top of this, because, for example, with the Parity USD, right, we mentioned how there could be managers of your money to make sure you got the best interest rate possible. That could be a human doing it. It could be a very simple program. But what we see in some other cryptocurrencies, like ETH, for example, people are running these very complicated AI agent programs, which take in information from a bunch of sources and then make a decision, thinking like, okay, actually, you know, I think it's de-pegging here. Now, of course, USD, it's very easy to tell if it's de-pegging. But then it can decide all by itself to, you know, transfer some BCH and get Parity USD in exchange. It can do this with all kinds of stuff. You can have an agent built that has access to a wallet that can do your shopping for you if the merchant takes BCH. We could technically have it buy beers, you know, if that was still possible. So what it kind of does is it enables you to build agents that can natively use Bitcoin Cash to do actions for you. And the best part is you can also pay for everything that this model does in BCH. So, for example, entrepreneurs that don't have access to these models, they can be completely free of fiat. They can be completely free of credit cards because they can build tools on top of BCH, like that use BCH and send BCH and never ever have to move out of BCH in any way. So I considered calling this closing the loop, because it kind of, with AI so far, right, many people use it in tools, build it into apps, but you're always paying in fiat. And usually you cannot have it do transactions. Now we can do transactions on BCH. We can pay in BCH. We don't have to touch fiat anymore. We can completely opt out of, you know, the traditional system in this sense. So I'll shut down the demo real quick. How do I do this? There we go. What you can also do, just much simpler, what I was describing earlier, is people that use this for stuff like medical advice or just, you know, helping them learn stuff. We, of course, integrated BCH, and you get a discount if you pay in BCH. You can also pay in credit card because we figure some people might come across this, you know, and they might not have BCH, and then they get curious because they're like, oh, how do I get the 5% discount? So you can add very simply this way. So I'll just demonstrate this really quickly because I wanted to try this with Paytaka. So you get a deposit address shown on screen. This is essentially the same as what was happening earlier via the API. You scan the QR code. Ah, there you go. We send the transaction and we verify. And then it just adds some funds. Should be like 2 seconds, I think. Of course, it's alive. Okay, I was going to say. So you add some funds, and then you can just start asking whatever you want of the model. So we can ask, like, what is BCH Bliss? Or actually, what is the BCH Velma upgrade? We ask it a question. And now for many of us, this is very basic already, right? But for many people, they didn't even have access to this before. There you go. It's a planned improvement. What does it do? The specific details will depend on its release version. So that's another thing that we did. So many of these models are smart, but they're outdated. What you can also do directly... As I wanted to say, this is actually pretty old usually, right? When you use these models, they don't natively access the internet. They're trained on old information. So what we can do is we can give it access to the web. So we tell it to, again, answer our question about the Velma upgrade, but now we give it web access and hopefully it will do it a lot better. It also has to think a bit longer because, you know, it goes to Google, searches for it, and then suddenly its intelligence improves a lot, right? Because now it knows that it's going to go live on May 15th. Might even say something about BCH Bliss, I hope. Let's see. A Bliss conference. There we go. Ah, yeah, there you go. It coincides with the BCH Bliss 2025 conference held from a... I'm very happy it added that in. You never know what they do with these models because, you know, it's not deterministic. It's just it's just whatever they find. Let me go to the next slide again. So yeah, what this does is with BCH, you now have access to just every single AI tool you can think of, all the chat models, all the image models, all the video models. I won't spend too much time on this because it's like 250 models. What we're mostly hoping is that people start building on this because we think in many cases using AI can really help you build stuff. If it's for programming, if it's for, you know, building something on BCH, that's a marketplace, but you want to make sure there's no nudity. Let's just say something. The model that I showed earlier that was checking the text prompts to make sure they weren't repetitive, it also checked to make sure it was suitable for work, right? So it can be even a sort of anti-spam on whatever service you build. There's tons of things that people can do with this, and we're hoping that now, you know, it allows a lot more people to start doing this because they can just do it in BCH. That's actually my presentation, so I'm running ahead of schedule, I think. What I would say is just give it a try. We'll be here as well to demonstrate it. Obviously, you can add as little as 10 cents in BCH, and hopefully people can start building more stuff on top of Bitcoin Cash. Thank you.
All right, do we have any questions from the audience? Oh, a lot of questions.
Is there an API for this? Like, can I access the service programmatically?
Yeah, all of this, the demo that I was showing, was done via our API, just a live website. If you go to the website and go to API, I'm still sharing my screen. If you go to the API, you can just create an API key. It uses the same balance as what you were using on web. So via the API, you can do chat, images, video, vision works via the API. You can even do the web stuff via API, get a deposit address, everything. It's OpenAI compatible as well. So if people have built stuff that uses OpenAI libraries, what you do is you replace OpenAI.com with bcashgpt.com, and it just works. And you have access to a lot more models, obviously, and you pay in BCH. So yeah, it's definitely possible.
OK. Okay, another question.
I was just curious how you are monetizing this. Is it a per deposit a percentage or per query or transaction? How are you monetizing it?
Yeah, so we just take a small cut on every. So we pay the different providers that we use, which is like 35 of them. We pay them per word, essentially, that we send to them and that we get back, and we just add a margin on top of that. It's a very simple sort of system. So the more it's used, the more we make. It's not like we get one subscription at every provider and then we spread that over a lot of people, because unfortunately it's not legal then. It would be a lot cheaper. but no, so we just pay for what we use and then we charge a small premium.
How is this different from the old NanoGPT?
Essentially, this just only uses Bitcoin Cash, essentially, because we think many people in Bitcoin Cash, they want to promote Bitcoin Cash, right? You don't want to, like, it works really well on NanoGPT. I think many of you have used it here. But you're referring people to NanoGPT, which I think many don't like so much. We want to spread, like, any decentralized currency that works. We're very happy to see people using it. We think more people will use it this way than if it was like NanoGPT as well. So it's a very simple way to just like cater to people that prefer Bitcoin Cash, very simply.
Hi, thank you.
Just talking to it.
Oh, okay. How confident are you on the privacy issue? Because I'm currently running a medical journal on Bitcoin Cash, and there's a lot of ethics about researchers sending data to AI.
Yeah.
And we're currently exploring a lot of AI options. And the medical concern that we have is sharing unused data or unpublished data with models.
Yeah.
And your particular product may be perfect for what we need, but it's the privacy that all the medics have concerns about. So how confident are you that none of the data is ever getting shared if you use these models?
Yeah, so the issue is we are, in a sense, a middleman, right? So we use many different providers. Many of them claim to be no log, that they don't log anything. We know what we do on our end, which is we log nothing. And if you send in a prompt, we only send in the prompt, like no identifying information, no IP and whatever. But technically, on their end, they could just be storing everything and seeing everything. So the privacy that we can offer is more of an anonymization, I guess is a better term. Like if you use it as a person, there's no way to link the prompt to you as a person, unless you go like, hi, my name is Milan. Then obviously it will know. But in general, it breaks the link. That's a better way to put it.
If I was putting on medical, unpublished medical data, technically whichever LLM I use on your service, even though they say they aren't collecting it, they could be.
They technically could be, yes. So in that case, we wouldn't know who's asking it, but they would know the prompt, what you're asking. There are actually solutions that we want to explore for this. It is only possible for the open source models, so there we could run completely our own models, pretty much. And then there are some more private things that you could be doing, but like Huggy is actually better to ask for this. or Nikolai, sorry.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, thank you.
We have another one. I have a question, which is when you've been running NanoGPT and you've got the stats that you've published, actually really interesting to seeing which different cryptocurrency user bases have been most enthusiastic for this or service.
Yeah.
Can you speak a little bit to what have you seen in the data there and what has been the defining features that help people rank up? Is it features of the coin? Is it features of the community? Like how can the Bitcoin Cash community grow its own user base in that way?
Yeah, fair enough. So we started with Nano, of course. The first coin we added was Bitcoin Cash, which was not based so much on any sort of market research. It was just us liking Bitcoin Cash, to be honest. It's a very nice community on Twitter, so like props to all of you. So that's why we added it first. We then started adding more coins, mostly based just on what made sense to us, or statistics like BitPay and those kind of websites. So because we relied on those websites, we started releasing our own data as well, saying which ones were used most. What we've seen is obviously Nano is used most, We're called NanoGPT. We started with Nano. It makes sense. At first, Bitcoin Cash was obviously second. Nowadays, it's mostly Monero, where I think that is the second one because of the privacy, right? People like people that like privacy like using Monero. What? Oh, sure, yeah. Third most used is surprisingly Bitcoin, BTC, which we were very surprised by. So we would, in general, I would say low fees and privacy really help with adoption. I think BCH is fifth now in the list, annoyingly after Litecoin. But so the reason we implemented it, which is like how you get integrated in more places, I think, is just sort of community noise in a way, community noise and sort of proof that people are spending it. So in our case, it was mostly a gut feeling that people, you know, that use Bitcoin Cash like actually using it. And that's why we implemented it. So I would say as long as you can grow the group of people that use it, network effect, right? You're always talking about as well. The more merchants, the more individuals that use it, the more likely to integrate. Also, prompt.cash, really helpful because it's super easy to integrate with. So tools like prompt.cash are like super valuable, I would say, for the system. One more thing. I think I talked to one of you about this before. There's this thing called BTC Pay Server, which someone told me they really hate Bitcoin Cash. But getting into those sort of tools is really super helpful because usually when we want to add a coin, it's just like, okay, what's the easiest way, right? And doing a custom integration, we wouldn't have done it for many other coins than Bitcoin Cash. In fact, I don't think we've done it for any other coin than Bitcoin Cash. So the more you can get into the existing payment processors, the better as well.
Are you hiring?
No, unfortunately, we're not. We abuse the AI models as much as possible. I do. And Nikolai gets a lot of work done just like because he has experience actually building stuff. But no, right now we're not hiring. We'll keep it in mind, though. Like, judging by your experience, it might actually be very useful. Yeah, your resume.
Hands together from Milan.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.